And peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Good morning. Welcome to Amazing Grace. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for everyone, every soul gathered here today, Lord. We thank you for the peace and the grace that you give us each and every day. Father, we ask that you open our hearts and minds to receive this message of strength and power and hope and peace. Thank you, Father, and we lift up all those struggling today, all those suffering today, all those going through hardships today, Lord. And we most of all, we lift up our veterans today to you, Father God, and give thanks for their service. We give thanks for their commitment. And we give thanks for the memory of those that we've lost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. My sermon title today, Experiencing the Risen Savior. Amen. So we're still on the Easter theme, okay? Easter in November, right? Amen? Praise God. We can have Easter any day we want. Amen? You know, at one point in my life, I was on my own road to Emmaus. Amen? I was on my own road to Emmaus. I had given up hope of ever being successful. I even used to say all the time, I thought I was bragging at that time, but that I would never even make it to the age of 30. And so as I walked this lonely road of destruction and addiction that I was in, you know, I discussed the things in my life that had transpired with those who would listen, those who were left that would listen. And you see, I didn't even realize the need I had at the time. I didn't realize the need I had for a Savior. And but seeds were being planted along the way. Amen. Seeds were being planted. I had friends who were bringing me to church, even this church, Amazing Grace, amen. And seeds were being planted. And even as I attended church, though, and I'm going to be as real with you as I can, even as I attended church hungover and sometimes still high from the week's activities, amen, I was still in the presence of a Savior. I was still here in the presence of a Savior. I may have been downcast and maybe essentially lost all my hope of a life of joy and peace, but God, amen, had great plans for me. He had great plans for my life, and he would meet me on my road to Emmaus, to Amazing Grace. Jesus would meet me on that road to Amazing Grace, and I would never be alone or without hope again. Praise God, amen. I would never be alone without hope again. I would find a home here. I would find a family here. And I would find a purpose here for my life. And I thank God for that every day. Jesus would meet me where I was. And he would take me as I am. Amen. What do we say? Come as you are, but never leave as you came. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So let me tell you about my Jesus, okay? So as the song says, today's message is about how Jesus opens our eyes, okay? He opens our eyes to see him and his plans for our lives, amen? To see him for who he is and how he can change our lives. And we got to thank God for that. So in today's text, we're going to talk about two men who actually spent more time talking with Jesus on Resurrection Sunday than anyone else, amen? And at the time, they didn't even know. They're walking for 7 miles with the Savior, and they had no idea. Amen? They would walk, and they didn't even know. So last week in Pastor Robin's great sermon, by the way, Pastor, thank you, she talked about how the women, including Mary Magdalene, had returned to the tomb, amen, with the spices to prepare the burial, to make the burial more proper, amen? They had returned, and they found the tomb empty, right? They found the tomb empty. So, in turn, she runs to tell the disciples, right? And they come and see, because nobody really understands what's going on, amen? They don't understand what's going on. Jesus is gone, but remember the angels had told them, why are you looking for Jesus among the dead, amen? Why are you looking for Jesus among the dead? He is risen.
He's risen indeed,
amen. But they still didn't get it. They still didn't get it. Amen? So our first verse says that now, the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. So We could just imagine that they were devastated, right? They were devastated. They were hopeless. Their Savior had been crucified. Amen. The Savior they expected had been crucified. And remember, as disciples, these men had witnessed, right? They had witnessed everything Jesus had done. So many miracles, casting out of demons. These specific disciples may have been there when Lazarus was raised from the dead, right? Or when Jairus' daughter was brought back to life. They may have even been there for the feeding of the 5,000, right? They had seen all these things. And I'm sure they saw him ride into town on Palm Sunday, right? And they expected him to be their conquering Jesus on a horse, amen? But he came in on a donkey, right? Lowly on a donkey's colt, amen? And they probably expected him to overturn the Romans and overthrow the Romans as he did with the money changers in the temple, right? They expected that kind of takeover, if you will. But then all hope would be lost. It would start to be lost as Jesus would be arrested in the garden, amen? In the Garden of Gethsemane, amen? He would be arrested and then put to trial. He would be scourged. He would be tortured. And eventually, they would crucify him. The disciples didn't understand, and they had lost all the hope in the Savior. And that's what they were discussing. They were discussing the hope that had been lost for them. Amen? So as these two are leaving Jerusalem, they're in disbelief. Even if they had heard from the others that he had risen, remember, like doubting Thomas, some people have to see, right? They have to see and experience to believe. We're going to talk more about that, about how we as believers believe and see things because of our faith. Amen? Because of our faith. And in the next verse, verse 15 says, as they talked and discussed these things with each other, you know, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. Amen? He came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Some translations say their eyes were restrained. Their eyes were restrained. This wasn't the first time that Jesus had restrained somebody's eyes from seeing. Amen? And so their eyes were restrained. You see, Jesus would reveal himself to them the same way he reveals himself to all of us. Through his word. Through his word. Through the word of God. Jesus would take them back to the scriptures. And it's then that they will recognize that he is the Savior. Amen? That they will recognize he is the Savior, or as Mary Magdalene would say at the tomb, Rabboni, right? Right? Amen? So as Jesus is walking with the oblivious disciples, he asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? What are you discussing together as you walk along? And they stood still with their faces downcast. Right? Their faces are downcast. Remember, Jesus never asks a question because he doesn't know the answer. Amen? He is the risen Savior. He is God. He knows everything. Amen? He's not asking a question because he doesn't know. He knows exactly what's going on. But anytime Jesus asks someone a question, it's because he's trying to get them to draw the truth out of their hearts. He wants to hear, this is a heart issue, amen? He wants to hear what's in their hearts and what they believe in their hearts. Where are they? What's their heart condition, amen? He wants to know what's really going on. So by revealing those things, we can receive, when we reveal those things that Jesus wants us to reveal, that's when we can receive what God has for us, amen? We open our hearts. We open our hearts to receive what God has for us. And in verse 18, it says that one of them, the only name one of these disciples, named Cleopas, asked, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? Just like, how do you not know, right? He's thinking, if you were in Jerusalem during the time of Passover, how do you not know about the trials and the crucifixion of Jesus Christ? Everybody knows. At this point, Jesus is just kind of, he's playing along with them, right? He's acting like he doesn't know that things are not well in the land. That things are not well in the land, especially with the rulers, right? And how they had crucified the Savior. He's acting like he doesn't know. Sound familiar? I mean, things are not well with our leadership and our economy in this country either. Amen? They're not well. Not to mention the wars and the rumors of wars that are going on around the world right now. Amen? Most especially near the Holy Land in the Middle East. But unlike Jesus, who's pretending to not know, some of our leaders that we have today actually forget that we're supposed to be one nation under God. Amen? We're supposed to be one nation under God, and that we are friends with God's chosen Holy Land and the true leaders of that country. But thank God for brave soldiers that are fighting for justice. They're fighting for justice, and keep praying for peace on this day that we honor our veterans. Amen? Let us keep praying for peace. You see, Jesus knew exactly what was going on then, and he knows exactly what's going on now. Amen? And remember, the light will prevail. The light always prevails. But just like these two disciples and many more who are like them, a lot of people today are living in despair, living in hopelessness, and it has a lot of us saying every day, what's next? What's going to happen next? How can this possibly get any worse? What's going to happen next? What else could possibly go wrong? But don't lose hope, amen? Don't lose hope as these disciples had on their road. Do not lose hope. And so Jesus plays along, and he asks them another question. He says in verse 19, he says, what things are you talking about? What things that have transpired, right? What things? Remember, Jesus never asked a question because he doesn't know the answer. They say, you know about Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed, before God and all the people. And then they continue. They say, but the chief priest and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. You haven't heard any of this? They probably asked him. They may have said something like, where have you been, under a rock? And he probably said, well, I've been behind one, but I got out, I escaped. Amen? Praise God, he is risen. Risen indeed. Then they said, but we had hoped that he was the one that was going to redeem Israel. They didn't understand. We had hoped that he was the one that was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this has taken place. These verses show just how discouraged these disciples really were. They were hoping that he was the one that was going to redeem Israel, but their hope was now gone. Little did they know that Jesus came to redeem much more. Amen? He came to redeem much more than just their generation, or maybe even a few generations. The Lord had come to redeem us all and to restore our relationship with the Father. Amen? He had come to redeem us all through the work of the cross. This was about the greatest freedom that could ever be attained. This wasn't a one-time deal. Amen? This was about the greatest freedom that could ever be attained for all of us. The freedom from sin that brings eternal life. Eternal life. Then Cleopas says, starting in verse 22, he says, in addition, some of our women amazed us, as they do, right? Some of our women, amen. Some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb, Peter and John, by the way. We know who won the race. And found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. Amen? They did not see Jesus. You see, these disciples had had so much hope taken from them and how they expected their Messiah to be like, right? They had so much hope taken from them that they couldn't even see all the evidence that was right in their face. They couldn't see all the evidence. They don't see the reality of the resurrection because they still didn't understand the power and the complexity of it. They couldn't understand Jesus having to die. They didn't understand the complexity of it. It just didn't fit their narrative. And that is the danger of having expectations that are not in sync with God's will. Amen? For us to have expectations of our lives that are not in sync with God's will. When our expectations are of our own making, we find it hard to accept what God really has for us. Amen? We must live in God's will. Or we may not have any room left in our narrative, right? We may not have any room left in our narrative. That's why we must always study God's word. Put Him first in our hearts and pray about our decisions that we make. Pray about the decisions we make and our expectations. Amen? Live in God's will. So then Jesus answers them, still playing along, right? As an innocent bystander, and He's walking along with them. Amen? He says to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe that all the prophets, to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Amen? Jesus is saying to them, "How foolish are you not to believe? All the prophets have spoken. It's written. They have spoken, including me, and you still haven't believed, right?" When we talk about our faith to non-believers, they think we're foolish, right? They think we are foolish, but the reality is that it's foolish not to believe. Amen? It's foolish not to believe, to even consider the words of God. We have to believe. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are saved, it is the power of God." It is the power of God. Jesus also says they're slow to believe. I think most people are slow to believe, and it's because they're looking at God's words and promises as an intellectual issue. Amen? They look at it as an intellectual issue. They think if God could just see, or if they could just see and touch all the cold, hard facts, then maybe they'll believe, right? If they can see everything and touch it, maybe they'll believe. But Jesus says it's much more of a heart issue, amen, than an intellectual issue. It's an issue of the heart. Some versions of this verse, the King James Version says, instead of slow, it says slow of heart, amen? Slow of heart. Jesus is saying, this is not just about embracing it with your mind, right? Not just about touching and seeing, it's about believing and having faith. It's about embracing it with our hearts. That's faith, amen? To believe in your heart. If some have an issue with Christianity, it's more than likely they're judging it. They're judging with their intellect, amen? They're judging with their intellect. Rather than looking at the facts, they're loving their sin too much to pay attention to the truth. Amen? That's the problem. We can be loving our sin too much to pay attention to the truth. So we choose not to believe. You see, when we witness and testify to others about our Jesus and His living word in an attempt to change their hearts, we show the evidence of what has changed our hearts. Amen? We show them the evidence of what has changed our hearts so in turn it may change theirs. Testify, right? We testify, we witness, we show the power, what the power of God has done in our lives. And in verse 26, he says, "Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter His glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning Himself." This, my friends, was probably the greatest Bible study ever given. Amen? Amen. Jesus is walking along with them. They don't know who He is. And He's talking to them about all the prophets and everything that was spoken about Him. Amen? So Jesus says, "Did not the Messiah have to suffer for these things?" You see, the disciples had a big problem with their Messiah having to suffer anything. They did not understand the need or the work of the cross. Amen? They didn't understand it. The cross to them was a roadblock. It was a roadblock to their narrative that they had of a Savior. They could not believe that the Messiah would even die, let alone come back to life. He was supposed to be the anointed one. How could he die? And why didn't he conquer their enemy, Rome? They saw the Messiah as the one who was to come and save them from their physical enemies. Right then and there, their physical enemies. But they were blind to the fact that he had come to save them from their spiritual enemy. Our spiritual enemy. Jesus had come to save us all from eternal damnation and from death. Verse 28 says, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going to go farther. But they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is nearly evening, and the day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took the bread and broke it and gave it to them. Sounds familiar, right? He took the bread and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Now they were starting to get it, right? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. They were so full of excitement that this was really him that they got up and they returned to where they had came from, right? 7 miles back to Jerusalem, amen? There they found the 11 and those with them, it says, assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and he appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread, when he took the bread and broke it. What an amazing joy these disciples must have experienced as they made their way back. Amen? They made their way back and they reflected on that amazing Bible study that they had had with Jesus, their Savior. The amazing Bible study they had, and Jesus was alive, and their hearts would no longer be slow to believe, amen? For he had risen, and this would change everything. This would change everything. They would start to understand. The resurrection of Jesus had become so vital to their understanding, to our understanding of eternal life, that it was now the key. Now it was the only way to the Father. Jesus was the only way to the Father. Romans 10:9 says that if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. Gotta love that verse. This is the same amazing promise that was made known to those disciples as they walked or maybe even as they ran back to Jerusalem. Amen. You see, the resurrection is proof that God had accepted the sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf. That's what the resurrection was. It was proof, amen? Yes, Jesus had to die, but only so the resurrection could be the proof of God's acceptance. That's why Jesus had to die. It was a divine appointment that would define our salvation. A divine appointment that would define our salvation. And it is through the resurrection that we are justified in the eyes of God. And justification, as used in the New Testament, means acquittal. Amen? The justification they're talking about means acquittal. How many of us know the word acquittal? Amen? Amen? All right? The definition is a judgment that a person is not guilty of the crime with which the person had been charged. Amen? Acquittal. Jesus bore our sins on the cross, and now because of his resurrection, we know that the final verdict has been handed down. Amen? The final verdict has been handed down. For those who are in Christ Jesus and have accepted the work of the cross, we are acquitted. Amen? We're exonerated. We're clear of any charge of offense. And for those of us legal experts, former criminals, it has been quashed. Amen? It's been quashed. Praise God. I got this picture. I don't know if any of you old school people recognize this, but this is the release door when they let you out of 4th Avenue Jail right here. I remember coming out of that door, and that was one of my roads to Emmaus. Amen? But the Lord would meet me as I came out of that door. Because of the resurrection, amen, we have been rolled up, we have been dismissed, and we have been released. Now, how does that look today, though, in our daily lives? How does that look to us today? It's one thing to say, I believe and accept the work of the cross, but how does that look in our daily lives? What do we do with that wisdom and that newfound peace we have from our Savior's resurrection? Amen? What do we do with that? What are we doing and how are we serving? How are we becoming part of the family of God? Paul tells us in Romans 5, when he speaks of this resurrection and this power that we receive, he says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Amen? Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Amen, right? This speaks of the many benefits of our justification through Jesus Christ and what we should do with it. Amen? And I'm going to talk about the 4 points in that as we finish up here. Number one, peace with God. Amen? Can you go back a little bit? Go back one. There you go. Peace with God. Amen? Peace with God. Right here. Peace with God. How many of us can remember our lives without the peace of God? Amen? How many of us can remember our lives without the peace of God? That kind of life is exhausting. Amen? It's exhausting and there's no rest. There's never any rest. I remember when I got clean and I began my relationship with Christ, I was tired. I mean, I was tired like for 2 years. Amen? And I know a lot of you know what I'm talking about. I was tired for like 2 years. Running from God can wear you out. Amen? Running from God can wear you out. Trying to fill that void inside of us where He's supposed to be is very exhausting. It's a task that never ends. Amen? Because we can never satisfy the flesh. It never ends. And it's tiring. We must accept what Jesus did and to receive that peace. Amen? Accept it and receive it. Number two, we have gained access by faith into God's grace. Amen? Go to the next page. Access by God's grace. Amen? This means that now we live in a life of God's favor. We have gained access. We live in a life of God's favor that we didn't earn and that we could never earn. Amen? It's a free gift. We don't have to earn it. And now we don't have His disfavor either. Amen? We don't have His disfavor, and that will be most apparent on Judgment Day. Amen? That will be most apparent on Judgment Day, but don't think it doesn't affect us today. Don't think that doesn't affect us today. Today we can have His favor, which is called grace. Today we can have His favor, which is called grace. And that grace, it gives us the power to lead a righteous life and to do righteous things in our life. Amen? The power we never had to do on our own, but now we do it through the power of Christ. It gives us the power to do all those things that we couldn't do on our own strength. So let God's grace guide you and humble you and strengthen you in everything you endeavor. It's by His strength. Amen? Corrie Ten Boom said, it's not my ability, but God's response, but my response to God's ability that counts. It wasn't her ability, it was her response to God's ability that counts. Amen? In our weakness, He is strong. Number three, third point, hope of the glory of God. This is the hope we have for a future. Amen? The hope of an eternal future. When we speak to non-believers about the hope we have in the glory and the kingdom of God, they tend to look at us like, yeah, right. Amen? They look at us like, yeah, right. Because remember, our hope and our faith is a heart issue. It's a heart issue, amen? It's a heart issue, And non-believers are judging by their intellect rather than by their heart. They want evidence of intellect. But the funny part is they have plenty of evidence. Amen? How many prophecies have come true in God's word? Amen? They could do a whole other sermon just on how many prophecies have come true. Amen? Maybe 10 of them. Amen? Hundreds of them. But all the evidence we really need is to have faith in God's word. That's all the evidence we really need, to have faith in God's word. And lastly, having a new understanding of suffering. Paul says in the last part of his passage that we know that suffering has a higher purpose than we could ever understand or imagine. Amen? It's a much higher purpose because we have been justified through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm going to read that one more time. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Praise God. Amen. Those two disciples on that road to Emmaus, they had lost all hope for a minute. Amen. They had lost all hope for a time, but then Christ came. Like the song says, changing everything. Amen. Then Christ came, changing everything. And today, as believers, our hope should never be lost. Should never be lost. Because God has promised to use all of our situations, in all of our circumstances, good and bad, amen, for our good. To build us up, not to tear us down. To build us up, to be strong men and women of Christ. Amen? Amen. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things, good and bad, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his good purpose. Amen? Praise God. God uses all of our situations for his good because that is his promise through our acquittal that came from Christ's death and resurrection. We have all been acquitted. Amen? So the war has already been won. Death has been conquered, and we may live in his grace because he died for us while we were still sinners. He died for us. Thank you, Jesus. Now today, I want to ask you a question. Amen? Have you truly given your life to Christ? Have you truly given your life to Christ? Have you asked him to be the Lord of your life? And if you have, would you like to recommit your life to Christ today? Amen? I won't leave anybody out of this. Amen? Whether you answer yes or no, I would like you all to recite the sinner's prayer with me today and join or recommit to the forever family that we have here in Christ. Amen? Amen. So please stand if you're able, and let's recite the sinner's prayer together. Amen? Just repeat after me, okay?
Dear Lord Jesus,
I know that I am a sinner,
and I ask for your forgiveness.
I believe that you died for my sins,
and that you rose from the dead.
I turn from my sins,
and ask you to come into my heart and my life.
I want to trust and follow you
as my Lord and Savior.
In your name I pray, amen.
I believe if you said that prayer and you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that you are saved. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this powerful word today. We thank you for your promise. We thank you for the grace. We thank you for the strength, Lord, that you give us each and every day to live our lives right, to witness to others, to love on others, and to be the hands and feet of Christ each and every day in everything we do, Father. Thank you, Father, for delivering us from our sins, for giving us a new life, a new, amazing life in Christ. Thank you for this day, which you have made. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.